A lot of people are upset with the decision of New York City Mayor Bloomberg to have no clergy involved, no prayer involved at the memorial service this Sunday, 9/11. I'm about to talk to a minister who's doing something about it.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I was planning to wait until Monday, September 12th, to discuss the memorial service in New York City for the victims of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the 10th year anniversary of this tragic event in American history. The controversy in particular over Mayor Bloomberg saying that no clergy would be involved, not a prayer would be uttered or offered at the event, which has outraged many. I was going to wait until September 12th to discuss that, in particular with our audiences in greater New York, greater D.C. area who were affected more directly by the tragedy of 9/11. In fact, even though Nancy and I have not lived in the New York area for a good number of years, because we are New Yorkers, it was closer to home for us as well. Nancy's brother, her one and only brother, was killed in the World Trade Center on that day. So I'm speaking to folks, I'm sure, directly involved, directly affected by that tragedy. The question, though, must be asked, and I've shifted things on the show today because a colleague of mine is in New York City right now. We'll be talking to him shortly, and he's doing something. He's doing something about the lack of prayer. Mayor Bloomberg saying there should be no prayer at this event, no clergy involved. He's doing something about it, actually having a prayer service, fighting the city to make sure this can happen, hopefully working with the city. Near Ground Zero on Saturday. So we'll be talking to you about that. But I want to get your input on this, all right? A few of the things I want to discuss on the air today as well. But we're going to start here. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Dr. Michael Youssef, highly respected Christian leader, pastor, also a PhD in, is it sociology? In any case, he can speak with some authority to these issues, and a man greatly respected on these very airwaves. Dr. Michael Youssef has said that for once, he agrees with Mayor Bloomberg on this issue because he thinks it's wrong to have various clergy members. Maybe you have a Catholic priest, a Protestant pastor, a Jewish rabbi, maybe even a Muslim cleric. Maybe there were some Muslims who were also killed on that day. Having them all praying, it gives the impression they're all praying to the same God. And Dr. Youssef has said that actually he agrees with the mayor in this case and says, no, there shouldn't be prayer because it would give the wrong impression that we're all believing the same way and all praying to the same God, whereas in fact there are those there that would blatantly deny Jesus and Muslims praying to Allah are not the same as Jews praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Christians praying to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus. So there's a bit more controversy about this, but I want to get your take. And it may not be as obvious an answer as you think, because you have someone like Dr. Youssef saying there shouldn't be prayer at the event. My gut reaction when I heard that was outrage. I mean, how in the world could that be? How could the mayor say, come on, how many pastors, how many ministers, just to speak about the side that I'm aware of, how many pastors, how many ministers were involved from the moment of the crisis, from the moment of the word of the terrorist attacks? They were there. They were on the scene. They were ministering to people. They were praying with people and continued to minister and reach out for months and months to come. You now exclude them and have excluded them from other previous memorial services, but now the 10th anniversary, you exclude them? Seems outrageous, but then Dr. Youssef has his angle and says, hey, we're not all praying to the same God. We're about to hear from Reverend Patrick Mahoney himself right in the streets of New York City when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire today. We are trying to get hold of our friend, Reverend Pat Mahoney. He's in New York City. He is working with the city as much as possible and pressing the city for the right to have a prayer service. It looks like we've got Pat on the phone. I'm going to bring him on to fill you in from the streets of New York City. We're talking about Mayor Bloomberg forbidding prayer. Mayor Bloomberg saying that there will be no clergy, no ministers involved from any faith at the 10th anniversary service, the memorial service of 9/11, the 9/11 terrorist attacks this Sunday. To me, it's an outrage. Others, a respected Christian leader like Dr. Michael Youssef, have said, fine, it just gives a false impression anyway, as if all these different faiths are praying to the same God. What's your take? 866-34-TRUTH. Pat Mahoney, thanks for taking time out of this hectic schedule to join us.
Hey, Mike, it's great to be with you. I apologize to the listeners. I'm right here at Ground Zero, and as one can imagine, it's bustling down here, raining, just thousands of people. But it's great to be with you, and it's great to be part of this historic weekend. And it looks like the city is going to give us our place to pray. I don't know if you knew, but we were prepared to go in federal court tomorrow. We contacted the city and said if we did not get a place to have a prayer vigil on Saturday, September 10th, that we would immediately go into federal court. And the police have been working very closely with us, and I'm actually down here right now trying to secure a site. But Mike, as you well know, we won't be comfortable until everything is agreed upon, but so far so good.
All right, let me play the devil's advocate here for a moment. Isn't this just a cheap publicity stunt? I mean, people lost loved ones. The wounds remain to this day. Why not just let people heal on their own? Why this cheap publicity stunt? What do you have to intrude yourself on the New Yorkers for this now?
Well, of course. Several, and that is a good, legitimate question. Number one, we're having the event on September 10th, not September 11th, so we didn't want to detract from the solemnness of that date. Number two, in talking with many survivors, the thing that sustained many survivors who lost loved ones, first responders, was their faith in God. And for the vast majority, their Christian faith. So we are here to celebrate the fact that God is an awesome, majestic God, that Jesus promised, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he would never leave us. That has only been God's gracious hand of protection that has ensured America has not endured another 9/11 attack. And we felt it was important, Mike. The scriptures teach in all thy ways, acknowledge him. We felt it would be a remiss, a disservice, I think actually a disgrace, to have the 9/11 Memorial Weekend and not honor God, not respect what sustained people in those dark days. And quite frankly, it was the clergy and the church that provided millions of meals. It was St. Paul's Chapel that was a respite in the storm. Convoy of Hope came. Millions of pounds of food and shoes and blankets were sent by people of faith, predominantly Christian. And so what better way? In working with the police, we have to keep our numbers relatively small, but we felt not it was a cheap publicity stunt. We felt it was absolutely imperative that we gather as the people of God to honor him, to pray for victims' families, to pray for survivors, first responders, and most importantly, pray for God's continued blessing and spiritual awakening in America. And what better place to do that, Mike, than at Ground Zero on Saturday?
No, Pat, obviously you'll be praying as Christians, gathering as Christians. But if Mayor Bloomberg allowed clergy into the event, he'd certainly have Christian leaders from different denominations. He'd certainly have a rabbi. Perhaps he would even have to have a Muslim leader there. you know that a man we would both respect, Dr. Michael Youssef, has said it's right for the mayor to not have clergy there because it gives the impression that everyone's praying to the same God, that a Christian is praying to the same God as a Muslim is, and that everybody's just in one little happy camp together, to paraphrase. What's your response to that, Pat?
Well, I read Dr. Youssef's article, and I respect Michael Youssef, and I think he does a wonderful work for the Lord. I think in this case, he could not be more off point. A couple of comments regarding that. Number one, the greatness of America is the right for people to freely worship God according to their faith tradition. Now, my hope and prayer as I share the gospel of Jesus Christ is that all men and women would turn to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But the fact that Mayor Bloomberg, if he did have imams and Hindu leaders and other leaders praying, it would not, he's not saying that every God is equal. What he is saying, or what we would be celebrating, is the fact that America welcomes of religion. If you follow Dr. Youssef's line of thinking, then that means you never have any expression of Christian faith in a public setting. That any time there was divergent views, you would say it would be better not to have them. I would just respectfully say to Dr. Youssef, I would jump at the chance to pray in that kind of situation. And Mike, I think you would too. I mean, can you imagine getting up in front of President Obama and President Bush and the dignitaries and crying out to God for mercy and asking Jesus to intervene? So I don't think we should let the fear of other religions being expressed in the public square ban all expressions of Christianity. I think it's a mistake. And I adhere to 1 Kings 18, where Elijah set up the altar. He told the prophets of Baal to set up their altar, and wherever the fire falls, I welcome. I mean, you know, I just was, this is another project, and I don't want to take time. I was just in the Ground Zero Mosque. They're opening that mosque up, that center. It's not going to be just a mosque, but a quote-unquote cultural center. They're opening up to other faith traditions. I want to get a house of prayer or plant a church there. And I'm going to meet with the leaders on Friday. I welcome the opportunity to share Jesus in the public square. And if that means other faith traditions have to have a, I don't have any, it's like Paul said, it's idols. I mean, I don't care if I go to a meeting and an imam says a prayer. They're just empty words compared to the power of our Lord. So I think that that's wrong on the part of Dr. Youssef to come to that. But, you know, it's an interesting point, and it's a very compelling point.
All right, Pat, may the Lord be with you as you hold the prayer service. May the Lord use it to bring comfort and encouragement. And it is very interesting to read that there, according to surveys, and this even predates 9/11, there has been a real growth in spirituality and interest in Jesus in New York City in the last decade plus. George Barna has an article recently about that. Church growth in many ways, people coming to faith, people returning to church. It seems like something genuine is happening. So in the midst of the tragedy, of course, our thoughts are with everyone in D.C. that suffered along with us and then others affected around the nation. But as you're in New York now, may God continue to do something in the midst of evil, in the midst of darkness. May God raise up a testimony and bless you. What time will this be taking place on Saturday, Pat?
Mike, we're asking for all the listeners. We are meeting at 10 a.m. Saturday. That's Saturday the 10th at 10 a.m. in front of St. Paul's Chapel. That's at 209 Broadway. We're meeting at St. Paul's Chapel at 10 a.m., and then we're walking to the site. We're working that out with the police now, but it'll just be maybe only 100 or 200 yards, and then we are going to pray. So I would invite all listeners in the tri-state area to come out, meet us at St. Paul's Chapel, 10 a.m. this Saturday. And, Mike, I share your feelings. I read an article that called Micro Churches. What we are seeing in New York City, particularly among Pentecostals, we are seeing these little 50 to 75 member churches spring up all over the place. And even Rick Warren himself has just planted a church in downtown Manhattan called Lower Manhattan Community Church. So there's something spiritual going on. And I'm excited about what's happening in New York City. And as you and I both have a real heart for this city, I think God's doing something extraordinary here. And we're glad that the faith of Jesus Christ and the fact that we can cry out to God for his mercy, forgiveness, and repentance will be heard on the 9/11 Memorial Day weekend.
All right, Pat, God bless you. May the Lord give you grace to overcome every obstacle. Friends, you've heard the time and the place. Everyone that can join Pat Mahoney this Saturday, please do so. God bless you, man.
Mike, just final thing on Facebook.
All right, hang on. We're out of time.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. I think Pat was trying to get some social media info to us. We weren't able to get it before we got cut off, but if there's any other announcement that needs to be made, we'll try to make it before Saturday. The event there, 866-34-TRUTH. What's your take on Mayor Bloomberg's decision? He's been adamant about it, and barring a miracle, it's not going to change by this Sunday. What's your take on it? What about separation of church and state? Are you offended as someone in particular living in that area, or someone perhaps who lost a family member or who had terrible family trauma based on what happened 9/11? 866-34-TRUTH. Chaplain Viviana, nice to hear from you again. How you doing?
How you doing, Michael? So happy that you're bringing this up. When I heard that Mayor Bloomberg had decreed that there will be no prayer on that day, I started thinking prayer is a central and vital part of restoring hope and promoting healing and raising our faith for what we needed to overcome, and for prayer not to be part of this whole 10th year anniversary, knowing that that's what sustains our city and the nation, I feel is inappropriate, and I feel it's almost like an abuse of his power. I will decree what will happen on that day. And I had called in because Councilman and Pastor Fernando Cabrera will have a press conference tomorrow at City Hall. He's asking people to arrive around 11:30, pastors, clergy, that are very, very upset about this. He welcomes them all to City Hall to address Mayor Bloomberg on this issue and saying that we're not going to be quiet and just be told, what the city is going to do, that they are also part, and the families want prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us one more time what time that will be and where.
Okay. It will be on the steps of City Hall in Manhattan at 12 o'clock. But to go through security, people need to, they need to get there at 11:30. And do you want me to give his council member office number?
No, that's okay, as long as folks know where to go. And again, this is just another way of making a statement. And look, the fact of the matter is, my take on these things is that even the prayer itself is not as important as the symbol of what's being said, just like when organized public prayer was taken out of the schools. Well, may the Lord further stir New Yorkers in the midst of everything that's been going on in these recent months with same-sex marriage and so on. May the Lord further stir New York believers to stand up for what's right, to reach out to those who don't know him. Thank you, as always, for weighing in, Chaplain Viviana. Yvonne in Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Hello, Yvonne.
Yes, hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. I was thinking that with Mayor Bloomberg, he's part of the government. And there should be a separation when it's decisions pertaining to religious. If they're talking about separation, there should have been some kind of separation, because his spiritual state is not where a clergy or a regular, one that regularly has time to dig in the word. I think the ministers have to come together, get their thoughts together. I think different ministers, I don't think from Pentecost, I think all of them need to get together, give him a program, because, to leave it on him every little nitty bit, and then when we get through, then we start bickering. I think we need to get ourselves together with God, okay, and with the rest of the clergies and with other people with other denominations, and put a program and present it to the mayor.
Let me just ask you this, though, Yvonne. Do you think the reason that he's not doing it is because it's difficult for him to put the program together himself, or the fact that he does not want any religious representation there?
I don't think it's because he doesn't want any religious representation, because when you see him around the city, he does acknowledge God and everything like that. But the thing is, he's not a clergy to know what's appropriate religious. I think he should butt out of religious things and give
right.
it in
Yeah,
a
well,
hand.
The thing is, right, that for him to back out and ask others to put it together, it's interesting perspective, Yvonne. My take, again, from a distance, not examining this closely and not watching Mayor Bloomberg closely, is it is him simply saying we don't need a religious presence at this event. We haven't had one in recent years, and we're not going to. Maybe you have a different take. Maybe you agree with Yvonne that it's for others to put it together and him to just accept the program. Let me grab one more call. Janine in Columbia, Maryland, what's your take?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I agree with definitely Pat Mahoney, and also I think it's Chaplain Viviana.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I think that I was very surprised about Dr. Michael Youssef. I actually listen to him every day. And
keep listening by all means.
Oh no, I'm not going to not keep listening, but I think that his stance, and obviously Mayor Bloomberg is on the part of Mayor Bloomberg, is definitely an abuse of power. I mean, the Constitution clearly states under the Establishment Clause that no one religion should be respected over each other. However, the beauty of the Constitution and our freedoms is that we can have religious diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So with regard to that day, no one is forced or coerced to even listen, attend, or pray.
Right. And there's nothing that's being...
Especially after 9/11, we should definitely see that there was a spiritual awakening.
Right. And let me just say this, because I've just got to jump in because we've got a break. I apologize for having to cut you off. But Look, no religion is being established. Janine said this is not a matter of we're going to establish it and we're going to force this. Look, you have... Come on. Presidential inaugurations, there's prayer. There's prayer at the beginning of Senate meetings. There's prayer at all different types of events. People are still swearing on a Bible in court. Come on. So I'm with you. But Darren, in particular, I want you to hold on. I want to get to you next because you agree with Dr. Youssef in this. So I want to hear your perspective. And again, it's with all respect to a fellow worker in the Lord, Michael Youssef. So we want to hear that. Doton in D.C. also, hang on. We'll get you folks on the other side of the break. Remember, if you missed the broadcast yesterday, we have a wonderful resource. We got a great response to it yesterday. We're making it available all this week. It's my 12-hour teaching on how to be led by the Spirit, a 12-hour course, how to recognize and understand God's voice, His leading, how to be grounded in the Word in the midst of this. We've cut the price in half, and we're paying the postage. So just $10, you get the 12-hour teaching series on CD. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. All right? That's 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the special series on how to be led by the Spirit. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today, friends, on The Line of Fire. We are talking about the controversy in New York, Mayor Bloomberg saying that there will be no prayer, no clergy involved of any faith at the 10th year memorial service, the anniversary service this Sunday, 9/11. I am personally grieved over that, offended by it, feel it's very wrong. My colleague, Pat Mahoney, who's holding a prayer service, God willing, this Saturday, we talked about, had Pat on the air with us a few minutes back. He said, come on, Mike, wouldn't you jump at the opportunity? You're going to have national leaders there and others there. And, of course, family members, those who've been terribly devastated by this event. Many have not recovered to this day, understandably, from the terrible losses and family and so on. think of this. Think of this. Pat said to me, Mike, you wouldn't jump at the opportunity, wouldn't you, to pray? Yeah, of course. If someone said, okay, you're going to have a Muslim praying, you're going to have a Hindu praying, you're going to have a Jewish rabbi praying, you're going to have a Catholic priest praying, and they want Protestant, would you pray? Of course I'd pray. Of course I'd cry out. And let everyone pray the way they pray. Why not? Why not? To me, the symbol of it is even more important, saying we need God. We need God. And the fact you have a few atheists or others that would differ with that, or someone from another faith to be offended, fine. You're going to identify, if you're out there as believers, you're going to identify with a believer that's up there praying. But Dr. Michael Youssef has taken a controversial position on the other side. And this is the kind of thing where you'd normally be in agreement about everything with another brother. He's taking a side that he knows many will differ with. So, of course, this is just a healthy discussion with absolute respect to a different point of view. But Dr. Youssef is saying, for once, he agrees with Mayor Bloomberg, who he would see as being completely non-religious. He agrees with him because otherwise, you're giving this false impression. Oh, it's just wonderful. The Muslim prays with the Jew prays with the Christian prays with the Hindu. Isn't it wonderful? We're all serving the same God or gods or power or he, she, whoever. We don't want to be doing that. Let's make this separation. Let's make it entirely non-religious. That's his point of view. Darren in Warrenton, Virginia, you agree with Dr. Youssef. Tell us why.
Well, actually, I do agree with him, but not to the extent that you may think.
Okay,
first
please
of all,
help us.
I would say, let's go to the scriptures. First Peter, it says to be subject to all governing authorities. So this is pleasing to God. Very similar to that. Read into that. And it also reminds me in Matthew, I believe it's 6, where Jesus is talking about the Pharisees out there praying on the street corners like a bunch of hypocrites. To me, gathering as a group of people, praying, and he's very right about that. Act like you're praying to the same God. And the other thing I would like to say is that we want to jump at the chance to stand in front of the president and pray. Come on now.
All right. Well, here, Darren, tell you what. Let me answer my part first. Okay, you better believe I'd jump at the opportunity to cry out to God in the presence of anyone, whether they believed or not. George Whitefield said, if the Pope gave me his pulpit, I'd preach from it. And that was in a time of extreme deep hostility between the Methodists and those in Whitefield's camp and the Catholic Church. So, of course, I would. It's not to put on a show. It's to cry out to God and to pray for our nation and to pray for our president. But Jesus was, when he spoke in Matthew 6 and Matthew 23 about not being like the hypocrites who love to pray in public and be seen in public, didn't Jesus himself pray in public? Didn't he pray to his father at the gravesite of Lazarus? Aren't there public prayers in the book of Acts where the believers are gathered together? Doesn't Paul pray before he ministers healing to someone in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter? So we're not putting on a hypocritical show. We're not going there to do our daily prayers in front of the mayor or the president to say, watch us pray. We're saying, oh, God, have mercy. But Darren, thank you, sir, for the call.
God of love.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I didn't plan to get into this today. I had a whole bunch of other subjects I wanted to get into and make it into some before this hour is out. God willing, the second hour broadcast, which you can catch online at AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire or continue listening to the stations you're listening to. And then later today, once you're back home, if you're not home now, then get online, AskDrBrown.org, and you can click on The Line of Fire to get the archive of today's show for free. Listen to both hours. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. The controversy over Mayor Bloomberg saying there will be no prayer at the 9/11 memorial service, 10th anniversary service this Sunday. The previous caller raised an important point. 1 Peter 2 and other passages in the New Testament call us to submit to earthly authorities. Absolutely. Does it say that we cannot appeal to earthly authorities? Does it say that we cannot differ with earthly authorities? Does it say that earthly authorities have the power to tell us we can't pray separately from their event? Of course not. So we're not talking about going in there, Darren, and disrupting the event and saying, we're going to pray whether you like it or not, and start throwing over tables. Oh, yeah, great. That would go wonderfully well with world security there, national security there. No one is suggesting that for a split second. What we are saying is it is outrageous to not have prayer on such a critical time in our nation's history, in the 10th anniversary, with so many needs in our nation and so much pain in our nation, and so many people whose only hope after 9/11 was their faith, was their relationship with God, and in particular through Jesus, knowing the Lord, helping them through. To exclude people who are on the front lines of helping, serving, ministering is, to me, outrageous. I don't know all of Mayor Bloomberg's reasons. I don't know his full thinking process. I simply disagree profoundly. I'm going to go back to the phones, but after that, I want to take you to a related subject and play a couple of audio clips for you. Get your take on this as well. Another extreme removal of any reference to God, faith, or prayer, or Bible in the military in a particular class. We'll come to that in a moment. First, back to the phones. And remember, I welcome your disagreement. All right? I welcome your disagreement. If you come on differing with me, you don't have to be timid about it. You can share your reasons why. If you agree, that's fine. But I welcome your disagreement. That's part of the beauty of talk radio, 866-34-TRUTH. Dotun in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. What's the meaning or background to your name?
Say that again?
Your name, your first name.
You said what's the meaning?
Yeah, the meaning of it or the background. What language does it come from?
The meaning is transformation. And, it's Nigerian. It's Yoruba.
Okay. I was just curious. I'm always wondering about names and meanings. Okay, so your take on the mayor's decision.
Yeah, while I respect Dr. Youssef and probably it's what reading the whole piece that he had there, it is very true that we don't worship the same God, but the avenue here is not that we're coming to make that public that we're how worship the same God. No, it's a memorial. And one thing that we must also recognize is this is the World Trade Center. It's New York City. And not only were the people that lost their lives or were touched by this Americans or New Yorkers only, it was the whole world. This is a memorial for the whole world, really. And the whole world, worship whatever it is they worship. And for him to stand up there and say that much, it's more like he's saying that I am going to dictate to the whole world. And I know that, coming from Nigeria, like I mentioned, we have one of the most antagonistic relationship between the Christians and Muslims, but no event, and I would say no event, including a classroom starting or a graduation ceremony, whatever it is, you would always have all those prayers made. As very excited as Christians are, they don't complain. The Muslims don't complain. And one thing, that always baffles me in the American context is we keep talking about people being offended. And I wish someone can go out there and really take a poll of who is getting offended.
Yes, sir.
I think
yes, sir.
A real Muslim out there, if he sees a Christian praying at a memorial, will be like, I mean, go ahead, go for it. And the same thing with a Jew, same thing with a Christian either. I mean, so to think that someone is getting offended is only a small people that say to the rest of us that believe in some deity that we don't have the right to, and we just that, okay, because of that one percentage of all of us, then we're going to shut everything down. And I think that is wrong, and America continues to walk in that place, and that's where the problem is. And another concern I have is...
Yeah, hang on. Let me just jump in. And what you're saying is very important and articulate. Many of our listeners might not realize how volatile things are in Nigeria with the predominantly Muslim North and predominantly Christian South. I mean, you're talking about bloodshed. You're talking about many Christians killed in violent acts from Muslims. And yet you're saying that there's still a recognition that you're always you may have both faiths together in certain settings, and it would be expected there'd be some religious expression. But, you know, the point you make about who's offended... Many of the big cases we've had in America with prayer being removed from school or things like that were over the protests of one or two people, one atheist here,
exactly.
One atheist there. And again, what about everybody else getting offended? And do only secular leaders? I mean, here's the other thing. Only secular leaders are going to speak. Only secular leaders have wisdom. Only secular leaders have the ability to bring healing to this situation. Even if there is no prayer, the absence of clergy is mind-boggling. And, you know, I understand because these were Muslim terrorists involved that having a Muslim praying might seem offensive and maybe you've got a whole volatile issue there. But even if you just had the main two faiths of New York represented and just had Christian clergy and Jewish clergy involved, you know, that alone would send a message. Hey, I'd love to talk to you more. Just got to get to some more calls. But thank you, sir, for the perspective from Nigeria and for your insights. Before I go back to the phones, let me throw this in because the story relates. There has been a class taught in the Air Force for over 20 years on the concept of just war. Is war ever justified? I mean, you're dropping missiles on people. What are the implications of that? Men, women, children might be killed. You may not just get a military target. Is it ever right? Can it ever be justified? So there's a class that's been taught for 20-plus years, taught by a chaplain, using the Bible as one of the sources for the concept of just war. Well, there's been a protest about that, and the course will be dropped because of the Bible references and that it's taught by clergy. This is not trying to convert people. This is not proselytizing. This is simply using the Bible as a text in the discussion about the concept of just war. Fox News had a story about this recently, or was it on CNN? Either way, sorry, I was sent the clip and didn't even bother seeing which source it was, but it was Fox. Okay, thanks. And there was a woman asked to respond for the side saying this should be removed. There are two clips. I want you to hear it just without the introduction, without the other explanation. I want you to hear these two clips while she's explaining why this course should be dropped by the Air Force.
Well, for that very reason, Martha, I think it's because it is taught by chaplains. It's not taught by any other Air Force officer. It's a mandatory class. And, you know, and to teach morals and ethics is not a bad thing. The problem is the Jesus Christ, the, you know, Abraham and all of these different biblical tones and insinuations. And it's not just Jesus Christ. It's not just the Bible. But there are also the teachings of a former Nazi in there. Most of the complaints are also, Martha, coming from Christians and Catholics who have been through this program. It's not from other other religions. Well, yeah, but a deeper question is, why did the military or why do top Air Force officials not know about the program? Doug is correct that it has been going on for 20 years. That doesn't necessarily make it right, and you wonder why nobody at the very top knew about this. There are many ways that you can teach ethics and morals and war without forcing new recruits, many of whom are not highly educated, who are going into the military, teaching them things about, you know, the Bible and Jesus Christ. There's no place for it right now. We need to look at morals and ethics, not at religion.
Well, they're not well-educated, so you don't want to talk to them about the Bible and Jesus Christ. I mean, maybe these simple-minded people who are just being trained to kill might actually be influenced. I mean, what's she saying? What's she implying? And we don't need to talk about religion and the Bible and Jesus Christ, just morality and ethics. Go ahead. Make that wonderful separation. Make the wonderful separation between morality and ethics on the one hand and God, religion, the Bible, Jesus Christ on the other hand. No place for it. Come on. You're actually trying to put an ethic into people fighting who are going to be engaged in killing. You're trying to give an ethical foundation to say when it's right, when it's wrong. Come on. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm looking at our call board here in Brooklyn, Bronx, and Sugarland, Texas. So we're going to go there first. Laura in Sugarland, Texas, you've actually been holding the longest. So Texas goes before New York right now. What's your thought on this whole banning of clergy or prayer for the memorial service?
I think it's a very complicated issue, and I think that's no easy decision for the mayor to make. But I sympathize with it because I understand that, you know, when you were in kindergarten, they were like, if you don't have enough candy for everybody, don't bring any, you know? And so, I mean, I don't know who... If we were asked, you know, to have a ceremony, like you mentioned a little while ago, who would we pick? You said the two majority of religions are Christianity and Judaism. But, I mean, surely if he went with a rabbi and a pastor, there would be uproar from the Islamic community that they weren't represented.
Yeah, I mean, the sense, again, it is complex. And, of course, you'd have to have a Catholic priest. And, of course, in New York City, you do have a lot of Muslims living there. And, of course, 99.999999% of them had no involvement with direct involvement with 9/11, of course. But in terms of the terrorist act, it is complex. You're absolutely right. I want to get to as many calls as possible. But just you saying what you say gets that in front of us again, reminds us of the complexity. So let's hear what others have to say. But thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. May in Brooklyn, what's your take?
Hello,
May. Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do not understand what the lady just said about being complex. Once you understand who God is and what he's called for, then you know that nothing makes sense without him. So to have a prayer would be the ultimate, because God said we must pray for the nation. He said we must pray for our leaders. What do we want? Disasters after disasters without being praying?
Yeah, yep.
For this country? Yes, I think it's necessary. And if I heard another call that said that the mayor talks about God. We all can talk about God, but what is in our hearts is what counts. If we do not honor God, then it's fruitless. We don't even need to speak his name. And that's what I have to say. It's necessary for prayer because God ordained this.
Yeah, look, the fact is, the reality of it, the symbol of it, just saying we need God. We need God. When a president would call for a day of prayer, it's people from all faiths praying. Of course, we're going to pray in Jesus' name and believe God's going to hear us as we do. And it's going to be different than, say, a Muslim praying to Allah. Although we pray that God will draw them to the truth and bring them to saving knowledge of Jesus and to know the one true God. But we're calling on people to call out to God, saying we need God. And that's what you have to do as a nation or as a leader for people of many different faiths, predominantly professing Christian faith. Fernando in the Bronx, your viewpoint.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm a council member right here in New York City.
Oh, thank you for calling, sir. I appreciate it.
No. Thank you for having this topic because it's the most important that we have prayer, and we have called upon the mayor to do so. in light of the fact that chaplains and pastors and I included, we were there. We were there in Ground Zero working with the first responders. And can you imagine a memorial service without any invocation? And I know a lot of people say, well, which religions? The three major religions cover at least 90% of the population of New York City. It's a day of unity. So the message that we're getting right now, which the terrorists intended us to have, was one of division. This will bring unity in a community that desperately needs this type of unity. The prayer has said that the cross, the Iron Cross, was a great thing at the museum right here, and this is going to be established in Ground Zero. And the prayer, it brings us strength. So his own message has been one that says the prayer is good and necessary. President James Madison said that prayer is the great recovery. It is the one thing that brings recovery and healing. And having worked as a licensed mental health counselor, a professor in counseling, I could tell you that every data shows, every research shows that prayer brings healing, it brings restoration, it helps people. So what's wrong with prayer? That's really my question today.
Yeah, what's wrong with it? And we've just got a couple minutes before the program's out, but what is the, from your understanding, what is motivating Mayor Bloomberg to say no clergy, no prayer?
The mayor is saying that it's going to take too long. I say that what's wrong with each of the major religions praying for 1 minute? We know how to bring it down to 1 minute. Being a pastor myself, I'm a pastor as well. I could tell, I could pray in 1 minute. There's no problem. The second thing he says is the issue of diversity. I think he was worried that the issue of religion was going to bring about division. The fact is that not including religion is really making the issue even bigger and more complicated. So it's having the opposite effect.
Yeah, isn't it really? I mean, the controversy, the negative feelings that are being stirred, and if he had the different faiths, obviously there's going to be some controversy over a Muslim praying just because of the unique nature of what happened 9/11. But yeah, I'm completely with you on this. God bless you, sir, for taking the stand. And we've got 30 seconds. Just tell our listeners again where your event is going to be taking place and how they can join it.
Tomorrow we're going to be at the steps of City Hall. We're asking people to be there at 11:30. We'll begin right at 12. All of the major media is going to be there because they're very interested. They have been putting it forth, including your show as well, Dr. Michael Brown. But 11:30 at the steps of City Hall, let our voice be heard in the sleeping giant called the church arise so they can know that this is important to us and that we need to make time for what really matters.
All right, folks, do your best to get out there. Be a presence. Let it be a wonderful, glorious, peaceful, Jesus-exalting testimony just what the city needs at such a critical time. God bless you, sir. Hopefully one of my trips into New York, we'll get to meet face-to-face.
It'd be fantastic.
All right. God bless. Well, friends, I'll give you my bottom line in one moment. A very important issue. Let's really be praying. And if you've not yet taken advantage of the resource offer that we've been making available this week, give us a call at 1-800-278-9978, a really important series on how to be led by the Spirit. Hey, this is a great time. Lord, what are you saying? What do you want us to do? How do you hear God's voice? How do you discern his will? A great resource. We've cut the price in half, and we're paying the postage on it. I think everyone can afford $10. So 12 hours of teaching we want to send your way. 1-800-278-9978. Get that number. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, America needs God. New York City needs God. And we cannot go wrong by crying out to him. We cannot go wrong in a public setting by saying, God, have mercy. God, restore. God, bring healing. God, your kingdom come to America. New York needs it. Let's pray for visitation. If you were going to vote for a presidential candidate and the primary thing you were looking for was a person of integrity and character, who would that candidate be?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Last week, I wrote an article posted on townhall.com. The question was, must a president be smarter than a fifth grader? And I addressed the issue of their attacks on Governor Rick Perry. Well, he's not smart. Some said in a derogatory way, very derogatory way, he's like George Bush, but without the brains. And obviously people critical of George Bush's intelligence and so on. So I decided to look into background to different presidents, different education that they had. I knew about some, but was fascinated to learn about others and asked the question, does college education prepare one for being president? And can you have good grades in college and make a bad president? Or can you have good grades and not be smart? Or can you be smart in one way and not be a good leader? And I asked the question at the end of that article, okay, what would be the top five qualities that you would want to see in a president? Top five qualities you would want to see in a president. And people responded, lots of different interesting comments. Some people, of course, attacking President Obama. Some people praising President Obama and so on. But when I compiled the list, those that wrote their items and what was most important, a few things came up repeatedly. Patriotism was one of them. The implication being for some that they didn't feel that our president loved being in America or loved being an American or felt that America was an exceptional nation, or there were others that felt it's got to be fealty, allegiance to the Constitution, to the founding fathers, and many leaders today are moving away from that. So patriotism came up, guts came up, the ability to do the right thing under pressure, the need for wisdom, humility came up. But the quality that came up more than any, the number one quality, which of course for leaders is absolutely essential, the quality that came up the most was integrity. Integrity. Along with that, character. Of course, there's great overlap between the two. That raises a question. And this is one of a few things I want to talk to you about on The Line of Fire today. If you were voting for one of the presidential candidates on either side, or a potential Democratic candidate, a potential Republican candidate, beyond those currently in the mix, and the first category, not the only, but the first category, the first item on your list was integrity. Who would you vote for? Who would be your candidate of choice based on that criterion that the most important thing I want to see in a president is that he or she is a person of integrity and character? 866-34-TRUTH. I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about the intensity of the political debate that's picking up, and even the racial debate that's picking up, how we as Christians have to transcend that, how we as believers cannot fall into the political or racial wrangling on either side of the equation. I want to talk to you about that as well. And some further thoughts on why we can't retreat, why we can't back up, why we can't back down. 866-34-TRUTH. Listen to this quote from Peggy Noonan, who is a speechwriter for Ronald Reagan. In a president, character is everything. A president doesn't have to be brilliant. He doesn't have to be clever. You can hire clever. White houses are always full of quick-witted people with ready advice on how to flip a senator or implement a strategy. But you can't buy courage and decency. You can't rent a strong moral sense. A president must bring those things with him. John Adams, our second president. Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people who have the right to that knowledge and the desire to know. But besides this, they have a right, an indisputable, unalienable, indefeasible, divine right to that most dreaded and envied kind of knowledge. I mean of the character and conduct of their rulers.
Fire we please. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So, of all the candidates that are out there today, presidential candidates on the Republican side, Mr. Obama on the Democratic side, some are calling for Hillary Clinton to run. And there's another Democratic leader you'd like to see run. If you were rating them first and foremost on integrity, character, not necessarily wisdom to lead, not necessarily economic skills, not necessarily foreign policy, not necessarily other issues. Those are all part of the equation. But first and foremost, integrity, character. Of all the leaders that we have nationally running for president or potential presidential candidates, who would you vote for saying, if integrity was the deciding factor, let's say they were equal in other areas, and integrity, character was the deciding factor, who would be the person you would vote for? There's a little book that I bought, I think in an airport one time. I hardly ever do that. Look at the book racks there, and for whatever reason, the rarest of rare times I'll buy a computer magazine, maybe on a long flight if I just want to chill and get caught up on the latest tech stuff that I would like to have. Probably don't need to be reading that. But anyway, I'm almost sure I got this book at an airport. It just caught my attention. It was called Never Scratch a Tiger with a Short Stick. Nav Press put it out. It's a collection of quotations compiled by Gordon Jackson. And I was looking earlier today at his quotes on character and his quotes on integrity. Let me just read a few of these to you, because these are great leadership-related quotes. That's what the book is really for in particular. Warren Bennis said, character is vital in the leader, the basis for everything else. G.D. Boardman said, let us not say every man is the architect of his own fortune, but let us say every man is the architect of his own character. Chinese proverb, distance tests a horse's strength, time reveals a man's character. Another Chinese proverb, if you are standing upright, do not fear a crooked shadow. Albert Einstein, try not to become a person of success, but rather a person of value. And Phillips Brooks, someday in years to come, you will be wrestling with the great temptation or trembling under the great sorrow of your life. But the real struggle is here, now, in these quiet weeks. Now it is being decided whether in the day of your supreme sorrow or temptation you shall miserably fail or gloriously conquer. Character cannot be made except by a steady, long-continued process. Another book I'm holding in my hands, edited by Os Guinness. Well, actually, I'm holding one in one hand, the other in the other hand, so I'm holding this in a hand, not in hands. I've got one book literally in each hand. Isn't that tremendous? And it's edited by Os Guinness, Character Counts, Leadership Qualities in Washington, Wilberforce, Lincoln, and Solzhenitsyn. And it lays out how this combination of faith, character, virtue was the foundation, the rock on which traditional leadership was founded. But each of these components has crumbled in the 20th century. In fact, Let me put this question out to you. Not just which candidate would you vote for if integrity was what separated them from everyone else. Suddenly you think, okay, how much do I really know about this person? How much do I know about this Republican candidate? How much do I know about this Democratic candidate or the president in terms of who they really are? Are they really people of character? Are they really people of integrity? But not only ask yourself that question, who would you vote for based on that question? But ask yourself another question. Looking back at past leaders in America, in our lifetimes, I'm 56. Some of you listening to me are much older. Some of you are much younger. I don't think there's anyone listening twice my age. If you are, you probably got the radio turned up really, really loud. So I'll speak more loudly just in case if you're 112 listening. But for most of us, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, or 40, 30, 20, thinking back over your lifetime or leaders that you've read about, who stands out to you? This person had character. This person had integrity. This person didn't compromise their principles. This person didn't bow down to the pressure of the hour. This person was not just an outward performer. This person did not just do what was politically correct, politically expedient. You know, it's sad that in the body, in the church today, we have to search hard for people like that. Whereas it should be every gathering of 10 believers should have a strong leader in their midst of character and integrity if the gospel is really true and we're really living this thing out. Sadly, we've diluted and watered things down and compromised so many things so much in our day, in our age, that even in the church, character is often lacking, even though that should be, again, just entry level for someone being in leadership, people of character, people of integrity. But who stands out, excuse me, at the top of your list? You know what I found very interesting? As I was looking at comments on a second article that we just put up on Town Hall, where I talk about responses to my article, Must a President Be Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Obviously a catchy title that we pulled together with the help of my family. We came up with that jointly. I think I mentioned that last week, even contributions from a seven-year-old grandson on that one. But a follow-up article, I took a lot of the comments of the readers and put those together and then said, okay. In fact, I read some of that on Labor Day show, I believe. And then I said, all right, let's look at the number one category, integrity. Who would you then vote for based on that? Now, we don't have tons of comments, just a few dozen comments so far to the article. But you know what's interesting? You know the name that's come up the most? Who do you think it is? And we're talking, they're going to be mainly thinking on the Republican side in terms of candidates there. The name that's come up the most among people chiming in after the article, and again, it's not a sample of hundreds and hundreds so far. It's just a few dozen, 30, 40, something like that. But you know the name that's come up a lot? More than any other name as I glanced at the comments? Ron Paul. Now, I don't know much about Ron Paul. I've not followed his political career. The one thing I know about Ron Paul is that his supporters really support him. That if any candidate with any numbers and any large budget had the devotion of his followers, that candidate would be president of the United States for life. I mean, they are deeply supportive of him. If you're listening to him, you know what I'm talking about. But it's interesting that while others were saying, well, he's so isolationist, we have an issue with this or that, people are saying, yeah, but this is his integrity. He doesn't back down. Now, again, I don't know him at all to make comment on that, and I haven't followed his political career well enough to make comment on that. But I just found that interesting. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me share a couple of quotes with you about integrity and reputation. Again, some quotes from the Never Scratch a Tiger with a Short Stick collection of leadership-related quotations compiled by Gordon Jackson for Nav Press. When did this come out? It's a really nice little book, 2003. So I've had it a number of years, but I pulled it off the shelf specifically for the show today. Aristotle. So it's wide-ranging. It's Confucius, Aristotle, biblical quotes, and so on. Care for the truth more than what people think. This is under the category of integrity and reputation. Henry Ward Beecher said, expedience, in other words, that which is necessary, are for the hour. Principles for the ages. V. Gilbert Beers, a person of integrity is one who has established a system of values against which all of life is judged. How about from Proverbs 22:1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Albert Camus said, integrity has no need of rules. G.K. Chesterton, the most quoted Christian author of the last century, any dead thing can go with the stream. It takes something alive to swim against it. You want to write that down? You want to write that one down? If you're driving, be careful. Be careful driving and writing at the same time. But see if you can memorize it then. Any dead thing can go with the stream. If you're driving in your car, you can't write, just repeat it after me. Any dead thing, you go, can go with the stream. It takes something alive to swim against it. Confucius, the superior man understands what is right. The inferior man understands what will sell. I wonder how much that applies in ministry today. How many people do we have of superior character who are going to do what is right as opposed to what is expedient or what is popular or what will sell? Boy, we need integrity desperately, don't we? Oh, let's see if I can grab one more quote here. Oh, how about this? J.R. Ewing from the TV series Dallas, of which I never saw an episode. Once you give up integrity, the rest is a piece of cake. Talk about it. So who are some leaders? Stand out in your mind. Men and women of integrity. You have to think, don't you? You really have to think. Political leaders that we've had. I'm focused on political leaders. Who stands out? Yeah, you really have to think. And then you wonder, how well do I even know who these people are that are going to be governing our nation? Something to think about. Back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just reading some more comments about Ron Paul in terms of folks believing his integrity. Again, I haven't followed him closely enough at all to even know what the great appeal about him was to his followers, but it's interesting just reading comments from different ones that integrity is high on the list. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Something else I want to get into with you today, another part of the discussion, and as always, you can weigh in on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, and you can go to townhall.com and read the article I just wrote, came out this morning, asking the question, what's the most important quality you want to see in a president? Okay. Another discussion that we need to have. So shall I open a can of worms? Shall I? It is all too easy for us as followers of Jesus to get in the flesh when it comes to issues of politics and when it comes to issues of race. I'm talking about people on both sides of each equation. I'm talking about people who are Democrats, people who are Republicans, people who identify with another party, people who identify with the Tea Party. I'm talking about whites. I'm talking about blacks. I'm talking about Hispanics. I'm talking about Asians. I'm talking about potentially Native Americans. I'm not pointing a finger in any direction, okay? I am not pointing a finger in any direction. I am not accusing any one group. So if you're taking me as being accusatory, then already you've judged what I'm saying. But as things are heating up now, as things are only going to intensify, come on, it's September of 2011, and the political sparks are flying. It's September of 2011. It's not September of 2012. It's September of 2011. We've got well over a year before the presidential elections. America is in turmoil on a whole lot of fronts, and the hostility is rising, and the intensity is rising. And I want to encourage everyone listening to me. Of course, I'm not excluding those who don't believe in Jesus, but I want to appeal in particular to those who claim to be followers of Jesus that we must step higher than the world. We must step higher than the world. We cannot get pulled into mudslinging. We cannot get pulled into all the volatility and all of the accusations and all of the flesh that rises in the midst of political wrangling and even racial wrangling. Let me give you an example. There were the inflammatory comments made by Mr. Hoffa, union leader, before President Obama spoke this weekend, saying we've got an army and we'll take these SOBs out, in particular an attack on the Tea Party. And again, if you're not familiar with me and my background here, I do not identify with one particular political party. It's perfectly fine if you do, okay. But I don't. I have voted in presidential elections and other elections where I had passion about what was happening in particular, primarily Republican over key moral issues that were important to me, and that were dividing line issues to me. but I don't identify as the Republican. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I don't identify like that. Or you're a Tea Party. Count me in. There may be fine people on one side or the other, but I'm not being critical. I'm just talking about my own identification, all right? But, you know, you've got these comments, which are so extremely volatile, and unfortunately the White House is not condemned and the White House is not denounced. Just imagine them coming from the lips of Sarah Palin, say, or imagine them coming from the lips of some Tea Party leader supporting Rick Perry or whoever it was. Michelle Bachmann, you can just imagine how everything would be flying. Renounce this. And come on, if it's wrong to say we've got somebody in the crosshairs, did the president say we'll come out shooting or something like that? Did anyone think, oh, he's pulling guns? So often there's hysteria on one side of an issue and double standards. I'm sure everyone's going to point the double standards here, double standards there. Okay, fine. I'm saying we've got to step higher. But, you know, comments like this are going to stir things up, such hostility, such division. And you know, just out of curiosity, and again, I can't tell you the Tea Party stands for this in great detail. I've never been to a Tea Party rally myself. I know the broad lines of things just like you do, and I'm not saying this in a critical way. But you mean the Tea Party people are not concerned about jobs? The Tea Party people are against job? What do the people do for livings in the Tea Party? Well, how do they make their money? How do they support their families? On what are they paying taxes? They're working people like everybody else. But you get people inflamed and you know, a game now that's out. You've got these Sarah Palin zombies and Bill O'Reilly zombies and these others, and you could shoot them and kill them, and they're all bloodied. And, hey, just a game to play. This stuff is outrageous. You might say, well, you're just using examples from one side. That's what happens to be in my mind at the moment because of recent things I read, but I'm sure there are examples on every side. And look, I have personally had it. I had it when it first started, but I've had it all the more now. That if somebody takes issue with Mr. Obama, they're doing it. If you're a white person, you're doing it because you don't like blacks, which is just stupid. Fine, you're racist on every side, but don't make everybody into a racist. And some of the very people who said they absolutely do not agree with Mr. Obama, with President Obama, they would have gladly voted if they had the opportunity, say, for Herman Cain or for Alan West, both black leaders. It has nothing to do with race. Yeah, for some it had to do with race. There are people who hate whites. There are people who hate blacks. There are people who hate people of Hispanic descent. Well, I understand that. But the vast majority of Americans, that was not the case. That was not the case. When Mr. Obama's approval ratings were super, super high, they were super, super high because there were a tremendous amount of white Americans that supported him and believed in him. And it wasn't based on race or not race. They believed in what he stood for and thought he was doing a great job. If they've had a change of opinion, it's not due to race, especially when some of those people would gladly vote for a black Republican today. And we make mountains out of molehills. We sometimes project from our own viewpoint or our own insecurity or our own judgmentalism. Every one of us can do that. Notice I'm saying us. And we've got to step higher, friends. We are in a critical situation here in America today, a critical time in our history where there's tremendous volatility and tremendous division and tremendous hostility and the ability is there, or I should say the possibility is there to see America wrenched apart in many serious ways. We as the people of God need to step higher and say, yes, I may vote for this candidate, I may vote for that candidate, I may feel very strongly about these issues, but I am going to conduct myself in the spirit of Jesus. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to speak the truth in love. I'm going to be an example of godliness. I'm going to be an example of humility. I am not going to slander leaders and authorities and speak about them in disparaging ways. If I differ, I'll do so in honoring ways. And I will not allow secondary things, political issues, racial issues, other things like that, to get me out of the spirit and to get me away from the truth of the gospel. Got on my soapbox there for a moment. Hope you're hearing what I'm saying. We'll be back. 866-34-TRUTH.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I've got leadership on my mind. I've got politics on my mind. I've got the question of why we can't retreat on my mind today. But I want to put out a question for you. I put it out in the first half hour today. I want to put it out for you as well. If you were voting for a candidate, any of the potential people running for president or that could be running for president on either side, 2012, if the deciding characteristic was, does this person have integrity? Is this a person of integrity and character? Who would you vote for? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. And another question I want to put out to you. The first hour today, I ended up not planning to do it, but I ended up talking about the controversy in New York over Mayor Bloomberg saying that there'll be no clergy involved in the memorial service, 10th anniversary memorial service. We ended up getting into quite an interesting discussion about that, an overwhelming number of calls saying absolutely there should be prayer, there should be clergy, even if you have people of different faiths, let the believers pray in the midst of this as well. But it raises another question, which ties in with the whole integrity issue. Can you separate morality, integrity, character from God? Can you, in your mind, you may be right, you may be wrong, but in your own opinion, can you think of, say, a president, a national leader, who would be a man or woman of tremendous character and tremendous integrity and at the same time be an atheist? There's a story we talked about briefly in the first hour, a course that's been taught in the Air Force for more than 20 years. Joey will be playing clip number two again in a moment. A course that's been taught for over 20 years in the Air Force, taught by a chaplain on the concept of just war. When is war just? When is it morally justifiable? One of the sources that's used is the Bible in this particular course. And there's been protest about the course. It's now been dropped. Well, you know, how can you be using the Bible in the midst of your it's a military class. Everyone has to take it. It's mandatory. It's taught by a chaplain. And there was a discussion. There was a discussion on Fox News about this. And I apologize. I do not have the woman's name in front of me. I pulled the clip out and we sliced it up to play on the air today. And I failed to note the names of the participants, I guess because I wasn't familiar with them. But here's the woman saying that by all means, this course should rightly have been dropped. And this is the end of the discussion. I want you to hear her reason why.
Well, yeah, but a deeper question is, why did the military or why do top Air Force officials not know about the program? Doug is correct that it has been going on for 20 years. That doesn't necessarily make it right, and you wonder why nobody at the very top knew about this. There are many ways that you can teach ethics and morals and war without forcing new recruits, many of whom are not highly educated, who are going into the military, teaching them things about, you know, the Bible and Jesus Christ. There's no place for it right now. We need to look at morals and ethics, not at religion.
That's it. No place to be teaching these not-so-educated people joining the military about the Bible and Jesus Christ. Rather, we have to be talking about morals and ethics, but separate it from God. Now, that does not necessarily answer the question I ask, can you have a strong leader of character, a principled person of integrity and character who is an atheist? Or must it be associated with the fear of God and some recognition of God or some relationship with God? Just a question for your opinion. But first question to ask, and we'll get your calls on the other side of the break. Which leader stands out to you above all as a man or woman of integrity?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen to this quote from George Reedy, who was the special assistant to LBJ. In the White House, character and personality are extremely important because there are no other limitations. Restraint must come from within the presidential soul and prudence from within the presidential mind. The adversary forces which temper the actions of others do not come into play until it is too late to change course. What an interesting concept, that there is a certain power that the president has where restraint must come from within as opposed to without. In other words, there are certain impositions that can be made by structure on presidential power, but there are other impositions of restraint that can only come from within the person himself or herself. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. If you were voting for any presidential candidate, let's say all things were equal and the deciding factor was who is the person of integrity, who is the person of character, who would you be voting for? Let's start with Alan in Brandon, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, first-time listener, first-time caller. I appreciate your program. I don't know. I'm a 54-year-old father of three daughters, and I've always been a one-issue voter. I think the United States is paying the price for really getting away from the issue. In my humble opinion, there's only one, and that's abortion. Mm-hmm. And Obama, if anyone studied him at all, was left of Kennedy when it came to abortion and that sort of thing. I live in a cul-de-sac of 11 homes, and forgive me, but every single Catholic neighbor of mine voted for Obama in spite of his pro-abortion stance. And I think God is finally turning away. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. Our land is starting to really suffer from God turning away from us. We're killing our babies. No one cares. All you hear about is money. And I got to tell you, brother, I have a real problem with you saying that one party versus another is no different. There's an absolute difference.
Alan, first time listening. You got to listen more carefully. I didn't say there's no difference.
Okay, you said there's no difference. You're not partial to either.
Because there's, I voted for these very issues. There are three primary issues I've looked at. Abortion, and under no circumstances will I vote for a pro-abortion candidate. Issues of homosexual activism, and where a candidate stands with Israel. So I voted Republican, but there's a lot of junk and corruption in the Republican Party. There's a lot of compromise in the Republican Party. I absolutely do not put my trust in a party. I put my trust in the kingdom of God. So my point was that I don't identify as a Republican. I identify as a pro-life follower of Jesus.
That's
and these other issues as well.
Wonderful to hear, and amen to that. I think if we as Christians stay on track, and it's becoming really, really hard to take this stance because people will absolutely turn you off. And it's unbelievable to me if you think about it. As soon as you talk about the rights of the unborn, people will label you and be done with you. And it's unbelievable. But it's just like this woman spouting off about the military. This is a Christian country. It was founded on Christian beliefs. And all these ethics and morals and laws stem from the Bible. And
all right, so question for you, Alan, just to get to the punchline.
Sure.
If you were voting for one candidate then, and the primary dividing line was integrity, who would that candidate be?
Yeah, well, first of all, just real quick, I'm telling everybody I'm voting ABO, which is anyone but Obama.
Okay, got it.
Bachman really appeals to me right now, and I'm really... there's so many to choose from. I find a lot of good folks on the Republican side, and I, too, am a pro-life conservative, not a Republican.
Why do you feel that she distinguishes herself with her integrity?
I don't really know enough about her. I have to plead ignorance here, but the things I have seen her say, I love the fact that the media hates her. As soon as the media hates somebody, I usually love them.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is, of course, when we say the media, we're talking mainstream media or liberal media, because others on the other side of media will appreciate it. Hey, Alan, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in as a first-time listener, first-time caller. Appreciate it. So there's an ABO vote, but in terms of the integrity question, Michelle Bachmann, but wasn't dogmatic about that. Jeff in Salt Lake City, who would be your man or woman?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll be dogmatic about it. Ron Paul is, for 30 years, has given the same message, has always had the same positions. He hasn't changed. His voting record is there for everybody to look at. He's not compromised on his message for 30 years. Now, there's a lot of people who would say he's pro-abortion, and that's absolutely false. He's pro-life. He believes in states' rights. He believes that these issues are best handled by the states. And so states can deal with the abortion issue. I'm absolutely pro-life.
Let me ask one question. When I was just looking earlier in the show, my article on townhall.com that followed up with my question about presidential characteristics most wanted, most desired, and said, okay, if you were voting based on integrity, who would be the number one candidate? And some articles I write will get hundreds and hundreds of comments. Some will just get a handful of comments. This one, I don't know, got 30, 40 comments so far. I just scanned it briefly, but the name that kept coming up, which got my attention, was Ron Paul. So in your mind, the proof of someone's integrity is they have not been moved by popularity or by polls or by what seems to be expedient for the moment, but rather they've held to certain conviction. And if you cut them, that's what they're going to bleed. That's who they really are. Is that how
Amen,
you really
brother.
Look at integrity?
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, brother. If you look at any of these other candidates, they're willing to compromise whatever issues that they're pushing for the moment. When it comes right down to it, their voting records show they're willing to compromise. There's a governor that's brand new in the pack, and he's come out to be extremely conservative and is trying to put on this label that he's a Christian. Yet, if you look at everything that he supported for the last 4 years, he's gone back and forth on the issues. Michelle Bachmann, even her record.
I don't mind in other circumstances saying, okay, let's get an evaluation of all the others. So, what I wanted to hear was just the positive evaluation primarily. Our last caller, very upset with Mr. Obama. Same issues I'm upset about with our president. And we knew coming in that he would be the most pro-abortion, pro-quote gay rights president in American history. So we've gotten what we were expecting in that respect. But rather than give your analysis of each of the other candidates, I've got one last question for you. I am politically astute on a certain level, but I'm 1,000 times more biblically astute and spiritually astute than politically astute. So I have not followed certain careers of certain politicians carefully. What is it that motivates the followers of Ron Paul in such an intense way that you folks are known for your zeal and for your commitment in a way that stands out above most other candidates? And it's obviously not because he's this rip-roaring motivational speaker. So why the intensity of devotion? I'm not asking it in a challenging way, but in a curious way.
Because the number one issue that is facing our country is integrity. The problem that we see today is that almost every politician has a price, and the Federal Reserve is able to meet that price. Ron Paul has beat the drum over and over and over and over against all sorts of criticism. We need to get rid of the Fed, and we need to get rid of its corrupting influence on politicians and everyone else.
All right, so Ron Paul strikes a chord by that message
against the odds, against what other people are saying about him, and against what ridicule that he constantly.
I tell you what, Jeff. Yeah, thank you for being clear. I'm only interrupting you, not because I don't want to hear what you have to say, but because we're out of time. We have a break. So he struck a note that rings true with his followers, and he stuck to it, which is why they've stuck with him. Hey, thanks for weighing in and sharing that with us. Jermone, you've got a different take. You're up next. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And, let me take one more call about candidates. Just heard from a couple of folks, one who's basically anybody but Obama, but likes Michelle Bachmann, another for Ron Paul, very dogmatically. And again, my question was not who you're going to be voting for, and it's a little early to be asking that, but simply the question of if you were voting based on integrity. If you're looking at someone and said, that man, that woman has integrity, that person has character, and that's what separates them or stands out most about them, and then, of course, you want the other things to fall into place as well, who would that person be? Jerome, yeah, your name was spelled wrong initially as Jermone. I thought, Jermone, that's an odd name. Jerome, all right,
yes,
who was that? Was that Andrew? Okay, Andrew typed Jerome. That can happen. All right, Jerome, so you've got, I guess, a negative assessment on who you'd vote for based on integrity.
Well, let me explain myself. All those candidates that you mentioned, they are, when they signed that pledge not to raise taxes, in that pledge was also that slavery was okay and blacks were better off under slavery. Once that became light, some of them, Michelle Bachmann, she then proceeded to take her name off of that signature. But it was too late. She already had signed it. So, and Rick Perry, for example, he's been groomed by the Bilderberg Group. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're for the New World Order, and they're for the destruction of our economy, actually. So we have to actually look, really research on who we vote for, and I don't find any of them with integrity.
Got it. Hey, well, Jerome, you're absolutely welcome to weigh in on that, and I appreciate you doing so, sir. God bless you.
All right.
All right. I'm not going to interact on the specifics of that, and I just told the previous caller I was looking just for the positive assessment, but I wanted someone to call that said none of the above. Okay, I'm changing subjects. I can do it. It's my show. A reminder, everybody in the greater Phoenix area, God willing, 1 week from tonight, so Wednesday, September 14th, I will be doing a talk on the Bible and homosexuality and having a time of Q&A afterwards. It's going to be edifying. It's going to be life-giving. And we invite you to come. For details, just go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can see my itinerary. We'll give you more details as we get closer, but it's being hosted right in the heart of the city, and I believe it's going to be a very good night. Great night to meet you, too. I'll be flying out later that night, but by all means, Greater Phoenix area, join me September 14th, 1 week from tonight. I want to talk about one last thing, the issue of integrity, the issue of leadership, the issue of character. Last week, I had in the studio with me Drs. Hugh Ross and Fuzz Rana of Reasons to Believe. And Dr. Ross had just written a book that had been shipped to me, but only got here this week, Hidden Treasures in the Book of Job. And at the end of the prologue, Dr. Ross talks about the issue that many believers are running from defending creation or standing their ground. Now, of course, there are others who criticize Dr. Ross, say he doesn't have a strong enough stand about a young earth, and others say, no, based on the Bible, you can have an old earth. We're putting that dispute totally aside. I want you to hear what he had to say, because it relates to the larger question of why we take a stand. He said, to ignore teaching on creation harms the fellowship of Christ's followers in at least five ways, but I want to expand this beyond the issue of creation. He said, number one, it thwarts our mission. Because Jesus called us to make disciples of all peoples in a world abounding with skeptics, one of the best ways to persuade people that the God of the Bible exists is to demonstrate the necessity of a transcendent creator. Then he said, secondly, it establishes a dangerous precedent. It communicates that controversies are to be avoided rather than resolved. I want to focus on that for a moment. When we retreat from controversial issues because they're controversial, because we might lose support, because we might lose money, because we might lose popularity, because people might misunderstand no matter how clear and gracious we are, yes, it establishes a dangerous precedent. It communicates that controversies are to be avoided rather than resolved. He also said it obscures foundational Christian doctrines. For sure, at many points where we're retreating today because it's just not popular, society's turned, or so on, we sacrifice fundamental doctrines in the process. Number four, it discourages systematic theology. Number five, and he expands on each of these, it rewards immature behavior. This is the other point I want to focus on. It rewards immature behavior. It sends the message that if a person makes a big enough fuss, he or she can control what is and what is not worthy of significant discussion. Can I repeat that? That when we back away from these controversial issues, when we back away from things that are often unpopular, when we do that, that it rewards immature behavior. It sends the message that if a person makes a big enough fuss, he or she can control what is and is not worthy of significant discussion. That's why on many of the critical issues of our day, of the great moral, social, cultural, biblical issues of our day, we cannot retreat. We cannot back down. To do so is to dishonor God. To do so is to say that we follow when it's convenient and popular. It is to say that what is expedient is more important to us than what is right. What people say is more important to us than what God says. Friends, we need to step higher. One great way to do that is to deepen your own relationship with God, to have deeper quality time alone with him, to get his word in your heart and mind, to meditate on it, to speak it, to repeat it, to write it out, to read it, to think about what's written until it dominates your heart and life so that your worldview is now infused with divine truth and you can serve and help this country, this nation, or wherever God places you. Let's be people of God. Let's not be people who are moved about by the latest wind of doctrine and the latest popularity poll. And let's step higher. Let's put our roots down deeper. Let's step higher. I appeal to pastors, leaders, moms, dads, teachers, whoever you are in society of having influence. I appeal to you to stand up and do what's right and be a person, a man or woman of integrity, of character. Okay, one more reminder. Resource offer this week that is absolutely one of the most helpful resources we've ever put out. It's a 12-hour course I did, eight lessons, about an hour and a half each, on how to be led by the Spirit, how to understand when God's speaking, how to recognize his voice, how to be grounded in the Word and sensitive to the Spirit. It used to be like $30-something, and then we were able to put it all on one CD and make it $20, but today you can get it for $10, and we'll pay the postage. That's right, the entire course, 12 hours of teaching on one CD for your computer or your MP3 player, and again, we'll pay the postage on it. Get a few copies, give them out to your friends as well. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Just ask for the series on how to be led by the Spirit or today's special resource offer. It'll be available all this week, so take advantage of it as you can. 1-800-278-9978. You can order online at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. And once we're done producing these, sending them out, any money that's remaining will go right into helping us reach more people through this radio broadcast, which is the hub of everything we do in this ministry. Again, number to call, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line: polls will change day by day. Opinions will change day by day. The crowd that cheers you one day can jeer you the next. What matters is the mind of God, the will of God, the favor of God. Do not be easily moved into what is wrong. Be immovable for what is right.